Good afternoon, and thank you very much for joining us. Today is Chaf Av, Menachem Av, 26th of Av, Tafshin Pei Beis, August 23rd, 2022. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you to Mr. Jake Wyman and to the Plotzkers for sponsoring this year. It's the Zecher Nishmas Shmuel Herschel Ben Shammai Shamaya, Zichron Livracha. And also there should be a Refuah Shleima for my father-in-law, Moshe Baruch Ben Rivka Rachelvina. We were finishing the Chafetz Chaim's inspirational talk to soldiers, and we're on the home stretch where he's advising us to daven, even in the face of crisis, chas v'shalom, and guiding us how to go about doing so. The question number one is it only during Shemoneh Esrei that we have to direct our tefillas to Hashem? Is it only then? Answer is no, not exclusively during Shemoneh Esrei. Whenever a person feels and wants to, the person should beg and petition Hashem, should supplicate. And does it need to be in Lashon HaKodesh? When the person talks to Hashem and speaks out his or her concerns, does it have to be in Hebrew? No. It could be Afila B'Lashon Shemur Golba Minu'ur of the Chafetz Chaim asserts. Even in the tongue and the language that person is used to and fluent in, that also is very effective. We can get through to Hashem in any language and at any time. We should be comfortable communicating with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We need to. But the Chafetz Chaim advises us there are two elements that make this tefillah even more effective than it would be otherwise. And he says, Tzorich shelo yechzar ba shnei dvarim. There are two parts to this tefillah that are so essential. Any tefillah, whenever we communicate with Hashem, first of all, how much emotion should we put into it? Or how much devotion in our mind should we put into it? Shetia me omek halev. It should be from the depth of the person's heart, from the person's emotions. Lo me asof velechutz. It shouldn't be something that's just surface. It shouldn't be something that's me asof velechutz. Without any depth to it, it should be from the depth of our being. That's very effective in getting through to Hashem. If a person is able to arouse himself to tears, if that happens by itself, or he's able to bring that about, that's wonderful, because the Gemara says that the gates of tears are always open. It's his own study. But the first element, the Chafetz Chaim says, is that a person has to really apply himself, invest energy of emotion and thought and kavana into that tefillah for it to be effective. The second element is something that might be hard to remember, but we're going to have a backup plan for this one. And that is that the person should intend that the tefillah should be directed in a certain direction. Where is the tefillah supposed to go? It's like Shemoneh Esrei. What is our intent supposed to be when we start davening? There's a certain avenue that our tefillahs go through, and it's much more effective that way. Where is that? Right, perfect. Derech Eretz Yisrael to Yerushalayim to the Kodesh HaKadosh. Ideally, when I daven, not only in Shemoneh Esrei, but any time, the Chafetz Chaim says, he bases it on the pasuk in Malachim from Shlomo HaMelech. When Shlomo HaMelech asks Hashem, whenever the Bnei Israel call out to you, please listen to them. He worded it in a way that we see that it's supposed to be directed toward the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What does the pasuk say? Hispallu Elecha. They will daven to you, Derech Artum, the way of their land. That's the conduit, that's the avenue. Shenasata Labosim that you gave to their fathers, I'm quoting the pasuk in Malachim, Aleph. And the house which you built for your name, and then the pasuk says v'shamata, and you will listen. You'll listen to mishpatam. You'll do what they're asking. Their justice for them. The Chafetz Chaim says we're talking about a prisoner of war now, but we're talking about a prisoner of any circumstance, a person who's in any challenge, any crisis, any predicament. When a person does the tefillah this way, it's definite the tefillah will not come back empty. It's certain that it won't. Now people say, but wait a minute, I didn't get what I asked for. It came back empty, didn't it? What's the answer to that? The answer is we need patience sometimes, or we get a different answer than the one we asked for, meaning we think we know what's the right answer, and what's the right result, but we might be wrong. But Hashem, of course, listened to us and answered us, and it didn't go back empty. Certainly it was effective somehow. Maybe it'll be effective later on. So these two elements to an effective tefillah, whether it's in Shemoneh Esrei or not in Shemoneh Esrei, whether it's in Hebrew, English, whatever language we speak, it has to be that the person puts his or her whole being into it, as much as possible, and also directed toward Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Those three. Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. When I saw this, I said to myself, I think one of them is harder than the other one. I'm not sure. For me, well, what do you think is harder of those two? For me, it's the second one, because I don't always remember, and I don't think I'm going to always remember, that my tefillos are going to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, through the place of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What if I don't have that in mind? Does that mean, Chas v'Shalom, I wasted my time? I remember that the Mesillas Yesharim tells us that a person, wherever the person is, can be like the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That means if I become a headquarters for the Shekhinah to the best of my ability, that it could be, even if I forget to have that Kavana, it's still going through the proper conduit. I have a proof from Aron Chaim by Moshe Rabbeinu, where Hashem told Moshe that even though the Neshamos, when they leave this world, they go through the gates of heaven in Eretz Yisrael, but where you are, you're like Eretz Yisrael. He never went into Eretz Yisrael. He's in what's today Jordan, the Arvas Moab, and that's where it's buried. Hashem says to him, you don't need to go in. It's possible to have Eretz Yisrael wherever we are, because we could be like Eretz Yisrael. So if a person works hard enough to be close to Hashem with Kedusha as much as possible, what is Kedusha? It's uplifting, elevating the physical and the mundane and trying to devote everything to Hashem. If a person didn't clearly direct his tefillah to the geographic location on the face of the earth known as Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, those three, perhaps his tefillahs will go up almost as well, if not as well, to Hashem, because he himself is like Eretz Yisrael. Where does the Mesillas Yesharim say? Let's look at his lashon. We're just going to take a little part of it. A person can be, hine ish kazeh, who? Now this is a very comforting feeling. To be in Eretz Yisrael all the time. We all want to be by the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We can be wherever we are. In a ish u atzmo, a person himself, nechshav, can be considered kamishkan, like the tabernacle, like the Mishkan in the Midbar. We know the Mishkan was in the Midbar. Where else was it? It was in Gilgal, it was in Shiloh, it was in Nov, it was in Givon. It was the traveling headquarters for the Shekhinah. That person could be kamishkan, kamikdash, could be like the Beis HaMikdash, the Chamizbech, and like the altar where korbanos were brought, where the sacrifices were brought. The person can be that way. A person can be a walking Beis HaMikdash, wherever the person is. Where did the Chazal say it in the Medrash Rabbah? When Hashem was speaking to Avraham Avinu, it says, Vayal may all love Elohim, and Hashem ascended from upon him. From upon him? What does that mean? Ha'avos hein hein ha'merkava. The avos are the chariot. They are the limousine. They're the vehicle for the Shekhinah in the world. And what about tzaddikim in general? Hein hein ha-merkava. Tzaddikim hein hein ha-merkava. Every person could be a tzaddik or a tzaddikus. We have ups and downs. We could have a day that we're a tzaddik or a tzaddikus. And we might have a day that we have to work harder. We have challenges. We have setbacks. But we can certainly strive for that level. We could have ups and downs. Kashchina shora alehem kamo shohayisa shora b'mikdash. Because the Shekhinah dwells on them the way it was in the Beis HaMikdash. Interesting lesson, though, in the Mesillas Yesharim. We know that the Ramchal is surgically precise with his terminology. Why three words? Kamishkan, Kamikdash, Bahamizbeh. And again, what does it have to do with Bitachon? If I can Hashem wherever I am, and I can dedicate my thoughts, devote myself to Hashem wherever I am, whenever I am, wherever I am, be like a walking, traveling Beis HaMikdash, a place where the Shekhinah is welcome. And that definitely uses me with bitachon, because I can be there with Hashem, I can be like the Beit HaMikdash, I can have Hashem, I can be a welcoming environment for Hashem. But why these lashonos? Rabbi Cheskel Sarna, the Rosh Hashiv in Chevron, has a pirush on the Mesillas Yesharim. He explains, Ashras HaShechina Arois. There's sometimes a temporary dwelling of the Shekhinah. Where was that? That was the Mishkan. The Mishkan was traveling. It was in transit. Very much relatable to us, because we have ups and downs. So we might be like a Mishkan. Well, the Shekhinah is there, but we're always in transit. We're moving to different places. There's different travels. There's different challenges, different destinations, different setbacks. Hashruas HaShekhinah Kavu. What about a permanent Hashruas HaShekhinah? Where was that? That's the Beis HaMikdash. Both of them, though, the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, they are Kamizbech. They're like the Mizbech, because the Mizbech, the altar for the Karbonos, was in both of them. And Cheskel Sarna points out that that's the difference between the Avos and the Tzaddikim. The Avos are the Merkava. They are the chariot. And the Tzaddikim are the Merkava.
but they're also like a chariot, they're also like a limousine, like a vehicle for the Shekhinah. What's the difference between them? Which one is more permanent? The Avos or Tzadikim in general? Says Rabbi Cheskel Sarna, Ha'avos im Kamikdash. Right, the Avos are like the base of Mikdash, Hashra Kavua. Very dependable. It says their Nevuah, their relationship to Hashem, was unmatched, really. Of course, they're before the nation of Klal Yisrael was formed. But they're the foundation for Klal Yisrael. Hatzadikim, some of them, Yesh mehem rak kamishkan ba'aroi. That's also comforting. We cannot expect to always be on the same level. Sometimes we don't have the Shekhinah with us so much. Even the Nevi'im had happened to it. We've talked about it before. Elisha became angry. And as the Melech Yisrael, who was Obed Avodah Zarah, he said, K'chuli menagin, I'm not in the right mood for Simcha, for Ashuas HaShekhinah, for Nevuah. And then it says, Vahi kanagin ha-menagin v'atei alav yad Hashem. He was able to have Nevuah at that time. Of course we have fluctuations. That's what's called Ashuas HaShekhinah Arois. It's temporary, but at least we have to have it sometimes. So we are now completing. Yes. Elisha needed music, that's right. The Nevi'im all had musical instruments, right?
Did that apply to us? Let's say we're like a fight or whatever.
100%. We have to get ourselves together. For example, it says that the Shekhinah is only sure mitoch simcha shal mitzvah. When we get up to daven, even if we're in distress, chas v'sham, and we're going to shed tears, whatever other emotions. But there's a moment of simcha when we get up to daven. What's the simcha? The simcha is, what is that simcha? I am able to communicate with the one in charge. How many people can get an appointment with the President of the United States, with the head of some companies, with the head of institutions? You might have to pick a number. You might have to wait months. You might never get to see them. And here I have the opportunity to speak to Hashem, and I have to realize that, and that should put me into a mood of simcha. Once I'm in that simcha mood, my mind is opened up. I'm able to communicate with Hashem. I can let loose with my emotions if I need to, but I need that dose of simcha in the beginning. It's the same thing to serve Hashem in general. That's why the Gemara Erechim, we learned close to the beginning, there has to be singing and music is part of our Avodas Hashem, as we said many times before. And yes, we all need that. And that's why we say, that's why the Sfarim, the Poskim say that, like during the 3 weeks or during Sfira, no, we're not supposed to listen to music. But if it's for a purpose, other than just to enjoy it, like to get me into the proper mood, either I'm depressed or I need to, it's mood maintenance, whatever it is, music is essential for that. And other thoughts that we have to have also are essential for that. We have to instill ourselves with the thoughts of Emunah and Bitachon. And as we know, and this is a milestone that we've reached right now, Baruch Hashem, because we just completed the Chafetz Chaim's exhortations and his inspirational talk, his shmooze to the soldiers on the battlefield, and tells them the more Bitachon you have, the more likely you're going to come out of it fine, and that's the chutz. And then he speaks to the one who was Chas V'Shalom captured as a prisoner of war. How to daven, when to daven, any language, any time, me'omek lev, depth of the heart, and also directed toward Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And in doing that, we can also recap what we did in the 12 gatherings before today. We mentioned from time to time that we start with Emunah, which leads to Bitachon, which leads to Simcha. Our goal is to be the Simcha. Sometimes we start from the end. Sometimes we have to do Arim Nifak Tipoloso. We have to smile, and the scientific studies, so many, there's just endless. How many say that when we smile, it triggers something anatomically, physiologically in us, that things are okay, they're going to be okay. That's working from the outside in. If I can't get myself to smile from the inside, I could do it from the outside in. That could actually change my health and my faith and my relationship with Hashem and with people, for sure. So it's 100% true that we need all types of stimuli that Hashem put in the world to put us in the right frame of mind. To either Emunah, Bitachon, and Simcha, or start right from the end sometimes, right? From Simcha. We have to do that. That's also something we have to do at times. Yes.
What is the Haggadah one?
Okay. That's because when we smile, so there's a lot, it's a whole methodology. So we already know, let's start from Parshas Bo and the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch says, Adam Lifak Tipol Osof, as you know already. And also the Mesillas Yesharim says, Itonios Mo'aros Panimios. So we know the outside actions, they arouse the inside. And the Mesillas Yesharim says, I have no question that there's more control. I have more control over what I do than what I think. And what I try to foster and cultivate thoughts in my mind and develop an attitude from inside out. To develop an attitude from inside out is much harder than doing exterior and external actions that can change my inside. For example, the lazy person. forces himself against his own will to wake up in the morning and to get up quickly. Can change my fate when I smile, because if I am not a happy person by nature, if I'm a warrior by nature, and we've talked about the fact that the person is weighed down with offer, with that element of creation, if that's the way I am, and we're going to talk about this now, about if I'm a complainer, if I am by myself, especially because I won't be self-conscious, and I force myself to smile, then I'm already, what am I doing? I'm activating, I mean, utilizing those methods of the outer actions can change, can transform me from outside in. So why is it going to change my fate? Because scientific studies, nothing to do with religion. You know, classes don't have to say it, but I'm telling you, there were independent studies. I looked one after another, after another, after another that said, when people smile, it actually stimulates, triggers something in the brain that causes the person to be more positive. And when a person is more positive, then already the person becomes a vehicle and a conduit for Hashuas Hashchina. So the person is changing his own or his or her own life right there by becoming a more positive person. It sounds almost too simple. Obviously, it's a process, and there's a struggle we have. We said, okay, David HaMelech, we learned this already weeks ago. When he came back from Ziklag, the place was in ruins. They all broke down and cried. So why didn't he just smile? No, he's a human being, the greatest human being among the greatest, but he's a human being. But then what does he do after that, we said? What does he do after that? Then he picks himself up. So that's why he can change his whole fate. Does that make sense? It occurred to me, though, as we move to our next segment of the Bitachon Vibe, and again, everybody for helping me and joining. What happens when a person feels he or she has multiple stars? So what I mean is challenge. And makes it through. Baruch Hashem. Great. And then what? Another thing comes up. And then there's something. There are bundled challenges and difficulties people have. How is a person supposed to deal with that? I feel like I keep getting hit. I have another thing. I'm between the things right now. We're going to learn about Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, who was away from him for 22 years? Yosef, correct? But before Yosef came back, someone else was taken away from him. Shimon was held as human collateral by strange, bizarre viceroy. Nobody knew this guy that was, to be Yosef, his son. And in the middle, he doesn't even recover from Yosef, and then Shimon's being held. And then he has to send Binyamin. Did it ever happen to you? You ever feel like, wait a minute, I'm still in the midst of, challenge A, and now B is coming up. Wait, I didn't catch my breath yet. I don't even know what's going to be with the end of this one. What am I supposed to do? When I thought about this, it occurred to me that Yaakov Avinu is the prototype for this experience. First, let's talk about three main types of sorrows. You can categorize. There are three main types of difficulties I thought of. One of them is health problems. Yaakov Avinu have any health problems? Have any idea about that? Any health problems? Okay, that's right. He was very, very old, but he wasn't so old, as he told Paro. That's, by the way, one of the main makoros we're going to talk about. Not this week, probably next week of the week after. He aged, but he said, I am prematurely aged because of my taurus. Ma'at v'ra'im. Didn't live that long, but it was terrible. My life was terrible. Yaakov Avinu said, by the way, did Hashem take him to task for that? Yeah, he did. What did he say?
He was blaming him.
Right. You're not supposed to complain. By the way, what we're going to get out of this whole thing is, after the taurus suros, they're constant. It's like it's coming. It's like wholesale sufferings and challenges. But we're not supposed to complain. It's absolutely unbelievable. He loses how many years of his life? 33 years he lost. He was supposed to live to what? 180, like Avinu. He lives to what? 147. He lost 33 years because 33 words in the Torah that have to do with how decrepit or how distressed he looked. How worn out he looked because of the stars. You don't complain about your stars. I saved you from all of them. So when I say that, I say to myself, yeah, it's hard. But Hashem doesn't want us to complain. He doesn't want us to. I thought of a health problem he had, though. Anybody know what's a big health problem Yaakov had? It was temporary, but he had it. So there's Yitzchak Avinu. Give you a hint. Many people get it today. It's called sciatica. It was the worst case of sciatica in human history. Maybe the first documented one that we know. Look in Parshas Vayishlach. I'm going to go through three types of problems. Yaakov Avinu had all three big time. One of the three I see I had way more than the other two. But this one. Look in Parshas Vayishtach. You want to see Parshas Vayishtach? Okay, Vayarki lo yachlo. So the Sarshal Esau, the representative of Esau, saw that he's not able to overcome Yaakov. He can't win. Vayigat kach yirecho, and he touched, he struck the hollow of the thigh. That's what's called the kachay orech. It's the way that the anatomy of the thigh. Vateka, and Vateka means it was displaced. Asara Rashi said.
30.
Yaakov, the hollow of the thigh of Yaakov, of Kolimo, as he wrestled with him. And therefore, he was limping, it says, from sciatica. Anybody ever had sciatica? I've heard from people. There's nothing to do about it, all right? Just about nothing, right? I don't even know anything. Listen, he had, it was a sciatic nerve. That's what it was. It's called the Gidah Nasha. Nasha means displaced. Or Menasha has to do with forgetting or being displaced. His nerve is displaced, the sciatic nerve. And it doesn't, look at this, in Paraklamen Beis, Vayizrachlo HaShemesh. Sun shone for him. What do you mean the sun rose for him? Rashi says, Meder Shabbat he brings. Lo, it shone litzorcho, for his need. Oh, so yeah, he had sciatica, but he was healed. Sometimes people have an illness, and they bemoan their fate, and they complain, and they're anxious about it, and they're distressed, and they're miserable, but often they're healed. True? Often they're healed from their illnesses. And healed also. Yizrachlo, litzorcho, lerapus estilaso. It was to heal his limping. But it says in the Pasuk, v'hutzolea al yirecho. He's limping on his thigh. So Rashi explains, he's talking about Rastua. Where do you find a cure? This cure came way out of left field. Where did this cure come from? What's the cure? It says the sun shone from. That's interesting. Is that in the medical books? Oh, yeah. Take a few pints of sunshine and you're going to be perfect. Your sciatica is going to go away. What's going on? So what does Rashi explain? Oh, there was a reserve here. Remember in the beginning in Vayetze when the sun, it set early when he went from Be'er Sheva? It was Miharo Lishkoa. So now it was compensating. So now the sun got up early. He had extra sunlight and that was his cure. I said to myself, well, that hit me like a lightning bolt. You know where the cure is going to come from. Sometimes the cure comes from a place nobody ever expected. It's not even medically explainable. He was limping, it says. He was limping right when the sun rose, but then he wasn't limping anymore. The Sifta Chacham explains. When the sun began to shine, he was limping. Miyad, achar kach nisrach. Sometimes a person is healed instantaneously. It does happen. And it happens sometimes from a person's attitude also. But he did have a health problem, even if it was temporary. And then what you pointed out also, he aged. He definitely felt that he aged prematurely because of his tzaras. What about parnasa problems? We have health, parnasa, that's our second type of problem. Did they have any parnasa problems, Yaakov Avinu? Now this is found in different makoros, and it's a little bit elusive, but it's a medrash. It's brought down in more than one place. From Sefer Yashar, it's brought from a medrash. I've got it. Days I've seen it brought up. So that when he was going to find a wife in Aram, Eliphaz to kill him, Eliphaz went ahead and did not ignore his father. He caught up with him, didn't kill him because he grew up on the lap of Yitzchok Avinu. He wouldn't touch Yaakov to hurt him. So what did he do? He robbed him of everything. So Yaakov had a very major parnasa problem. It's called no money, no possessions. What someone once told me, I looked at my balance in my bank account and it said zero on it. Well, that's what Yaakov's balance was at this point. He had nothing, he even took his clothes. Now, that is a big dilemma. But one of the Chazal says that he immersed himself in a river. He cried out to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, I have nothing. There's nothing in my checking account, my annuities, my savings account, my wardrobe, my valuables. My commodities, I have nothing. Ribono Shel Olam, Tati, help me. Yaakov Avinu cries out. What happened? Right, what happened is that suddenly a horseman came along and he was going to try to cross the river but fell into the water and drowned. Now, nobody wants anybody to drown. We won't pay attention to that as much as the fact that Yaakov got a wardrobe. At least they could put on some clothes now. And he went right away to yeshiva after that, by the way, it says. Because he went to Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever, Great Eitzah.
Rabbi, didn't he have to split his account?
At this point?
Oh,
thank you. That's the other one. Perfect. I was about to say that's the second Parnassa problem he had. Now, that everybody's really hot on the track of everything today. The Dasa Kanim says that when he needed to meet Esav, he had no idea what was going to happen. And several weeks ago, we talked about this briefly, but not from this vantage point. He said, like, I don't know what's going to be with Esav, but I have to try to pacify him. So what I did, so he took a very extensive present. Just look in Parshas Vayishlach. I have no idea how much all the animals and everything cost. And Asa Kenim says he suffered a hefted mammon there. He had to give. Now you might say, well, he's still a wealthy man. It's a huge amount of money that he lost there. So there's at least two times in his life he was in financial crisis. Yaakov Avinu. So we had, and we're going to talk about all this later in Mitzvah Shem. We're going to investigate and explore this, and we're going to derive from it what is going to be the takeaway from all of this stuff. The takeaway is going to be that he had Saras, and the Ribbono Shalom expected him not to complain, because he's still alive at the end, and he's still intact, and there's still hope, and each one that happened, there's positive that came out of it, even if it's hard to find it, at least as a sum total. Everything is okay, he's alive, and Hashem doesn't want to hear us complaining. We have health, we have Parnassa, but what was the big one of the three? What's his biggest problem in life he had? So he had to instill himself bitachon because of, meaning there's health, there's parnasa, and relationships with his family, relationships with his people, where it's unspeakable horrors that he went through. Just think about it.
Losing his son.
The biggest one. He had people after him. He had his father-in-law was more of an outlaw, and he had problems with his kids. Talk about Gittel Bunim. Unspeakable tzaras that he had. He had all three of them. Why do we want to talk about Yaakov's tzaras? Because we want to see that Yaakov had, as I said before, wholesale challenges. And Chazal say, when they look at all these challenges, that Hashem wants us to have a positive, upbeat, optimistic attitude and outlook on everything. And we're going to end in the last 3 minutes by talking about three reasons to have a positive attitude, three practical reasons to have. Why should we have a positive attitude if things are so difficult? Why? How can anybody convince me to do that? Why not be just like depressed and anxious, worried? But number one, because Hashem wants us and expects us to be positive. As we see, Yaakov lost 33 years of his life because of 33 words that had to do with the way he looked, because he looked miserable because of his suffering. So obviously Hashem knows what's the best for us. Hashem says, I'm telling you what's best for the human being. The Torah is it's the handbook. It's the manual for the human being. And it says you have to be positive. You have to work on it. Yes, we have ups and downs. It's like a storm. But when the storm comes through, it passes, though. We can't always be in a storm. We have to let it pass, and we have to ride it through. Number two, sometimes things actually work well. I mean, they do. They work out. So I have to have a test. I'm having a screening test, let's say. And they say, okay, it could be this, your MRI. It could be this, it could be this, it could be that. Yetzirah says, oh, it's the third one. That's the bad one. Chas v'shalom. Of course it's the bad one. That's Yetzirah, right? Doesn't Yetzirah, oh, no, it's the bad one. I'm doomed. Chas v'shalom. Wait a minute. Stop for a second. Take your breath. Hey, take a chill pill, one of my kids once said. Maybe it's the first two. In fact, they're the majority chance of it. It is the good one. What are you looking at? And you know, it might be the good one. It will be the good one. We learned already. We started out. More bitachon, more likely. You can even change it with the positive attitude. And that's the third one, actually. And that's what we learned in the very beginning. That a ruach ish, as it says in Mishlei, and we're going to start with that in Mirz Hashem, just to review it. It's so, so fundamental. That a person's spirit, the person's resolve, the person's mood, the person's attitude can heal not just emotional illnesses, physical ones. The Gra on Mishlei says it in black and white, and if you miss that one, you're going to hear it again in Mirz Hashem at the beginning of next time. We have to repeat it so many times. And this morning during Brach, I said to myself, Shalom Asani Aved. I am not a slave to my attitudes, to my tendencies, to my dispositions, to my nature. I'm not a slave, I'm free. And you know what I'm free to do? I'm free to have a positive attitude and to respond and react the way that I want to. Because while we're in this world, as it says in Avos, HaKol Tzafoi, Hashem knows everything that's going to happen. That's true. But harashus nesuna. There's permission given. We have permission to take on, we have ownership to espouse the attitude to embrace the life perspective that we are going to take on and that we're going to think that way. That's part of Bechira. So today, we finished up the Chofetz Chaim's pep talk to the soldiers, and we're moving on to study Yaakov Avinu's life a little bit, and we're going to see that even with Chas V'Shalom, tzoros after tzoros, challenges after challenges, we have to extract the good in them, we are supposed to look at them in a positive way, and the Ribbono Shalom only wants to hear positive words, not complaining from us. And if we go ahead and approach it that way, our quality of life is elevated so much, and we're here not that long, so while we're here, we may as well enjoy life. We may as well have simcha. And we should serve Hashem with emunah, bitachon, and simcha. Thank you so much for joining us. Yes,
yeah. Question.
Right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Our kavanos, well, meaning, our what? Our kavanos, I love that one. First of all, the things that are hard to sacrifice, what are they? Time. Patience. You know, we once had a share many years ago. It was the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha. It was about relative. Like, people who are closest to, especially, do I have patience for my kids, for my spouse, for my siblings, for my parents? Do I have patience? They want to talk to me. Do I have patience? Will I teach myself to be patient? So that's the thing. In other words, so your question was, what was your question again? Oh, yeah, how do we do it?
What are our carbonates?
Right. Oh, okay, good. So whatever we sacrifice. Right, okay, so I'm going to show you, because it's going to get literal in a minute. But there are intangible sacrifices. Patience, how about energy, time, emotion, of course money, we know that if we have money. My Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Wein, in one of his farm, in the introduction, he mentioned, please don't reproduce the Sefer, you know, without permission. He said a lot of damim went into the Sefer. He said damim tarte mashma. There are two connotations for damim. Damim means money, and also means blood. Because when you spend a lot of money, you're also spending from yourself. That's why, by the way, Yaakov Avinu, his money was so valuable to him. That's why, imagine the anguish he went through when he lost all that money two times. So, because it was harder in money. That's what it says. The Gemara Chulin in Perek Yad Anasha says about Yaakov Avinu, by Pachim Kitanim. It says, Mikan the Tzadikim, Shechav Mamonim, Yosim Rigufam. Money, they see money can do even more than their body can do. So, we have to be willing to give. Of course, we have to. Some people can't part with money, and Chazal tells us the more we have, the more delicious it is, the more geschmack it is, the harder it is to part with it. So, we have to be willing to sacrifice all that. There's the literal one, too, though. As you notice that in Erev Yom Kippur, when we say Tefillah Zakah, we say, what do we say to Hashem? When I'm fasting on Yom Kippur, which even sick people have to fast unless they have life endangerment issues at all, I'm going to have less fat. I'm not going to be metabolizing any food. So there's going to be less fat in me. There's going to be less blood in me. Because my body's not going to produce as much. I mean, I'm not a biologist, but I think most of us know, right? If I'm not taking in any food, so that my body isn't producing as many, whatever, blood cells, just correct me if I'm wrong, whatever. And I'm saying, so he says, that's like the carbonos, every carbon of an animal, the blood was sprinkled on the mizbeach, and the emorim, the chalavim, were burnt. Even if it was a shlomim that you ate part of it, and kohanim got part of it, and all of, everything was burnt, even the limbs. I'm saying, so the fat and the blood, that we that's also a sacrifice. And then sometimes we sacrifice certain gashmias things, not because we're supposed to be separating from gashmias, but there's certain things that we might crave and we don't have. We have to eat a certain way. That's also, okay, I'm going to have less fat and blood. It's literal. It says that in that. So those are the things we have to, those are our sacrifices. Yeah, that's also, that's like our tail. Oh, good. It says today, we don't have a mizbeach, but shulchan ha-shu'adim ha-chafer lev, our shulchan is like a mizbeach, and therefore the way we conduct ourselves, especially on Shabbos, but any day at the table, it's like you're at the mizbeach of Hashem. It says when you speak Torah by the table, that's like a mizbeach, it's in front of the table in front of Hashem. That's correct. All those are sacrifices. By the way, I do want to mention that in Mitzrayim, the Alman in the Torah says, you know, we're not obsessed with blood. We know there's religion that has an obsession with blood. Am I right? I heard about that. I heard that there's a little bit of obsession with sacrifice and blood. Chas V'Shalom, we don't have an obsession, but when we left Mitzrayim, the night before we left, Hashem says, you know, you got to take the blood, and you have to spray it on the doorpost and the lintel. What must happen with the blood in here? No. The blood represents self-sacrifice, because we were in a place that was the most decadent, immoral place on earth, correct? So the blood of Mila, that's not what was on the doors, but that represents sacrificing our lifestyle for a different one. The blood of the Karban Pesach, that's also sacrificing our lifestyle, because we were steeped in Avodah Zarah. That was a Yetzer that we had. So as a result, the pasuk says, "Mishchu kuchul chemtzon v'shachtu apasa." So the pasuk tries to pull out an animal, each family or each group. But the deeper shot is mishchu yedechem avodah zarah. You have to pull your hands away from avodah zarah. What's the sacrifice? The sacrifice isn't so much, oh yeah, we're going to have the carbon taste off of the sacrifice. I'm sacrificing my lifestyle. The yidden totally transformed themselves overnight. 4 days before, they took a lamb or a goat. It was either one. They're both fine. It says in Parshas Bo. But that's totally sacrificing their lifestyle because that wasn't the way they lived before. They were in, it says, the mazel tzleh, Aries, the Kliyakar brings is what the Mitzrayim worshipped. They idolized it, and that had to do with the lamb. And the Jews over here grew up there. Yeah, they didn't do any, we didn't do any immorality, except for Shlomo Spastivri, as the Medrash Shofetov says, but we were in a place of immorality. We have to show that we're not that way. That's a sacrificing, of course, when a person is a Baal Tshuva, a person is a Ger, whatever, that's an absolute sacrifice, par excellence, of the person's total lifestyle that they were living before. But we, every person has it to a degree. I have tendencies, and I don't go after those taivos. I don't go after that yetzahara. That's a sacrifice right there. That's what our sacrifices are today. So yeah, we have karbanos. That's what we have today. Is that what you're asking me for?
Yeah, that's very empowering.
Yes. Like when we're having
like yasovim
hardships,
you're ready to sacrifice. I have a question. Yes. 100%. Yes. Yes. Any other question?
Someone.
Tuition?
Yeah.
Did you say that?
Yeah,
oh.
For a Torah.
Damim, 100%. 100% money, tuition. What's like tuition? Is there anything like it? I'm saying, what do we have in the world like tuition? You know, that's like a carbon ola, you know what I'm saying? Someone was telling me, a great person was telling me, he said, if you make a cheshbon, if you would pay tuition, it would be more than your entire salary that you make the whole year. If you just pay tuition, you have, it would be a negative number from your salary. You know what I'm saying? That's how much tuition is, right? Yeah, that's definitely, wow. For Torah.
So you're saying that you have to have a positive attitude about all these.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And everyone should have a wonderful week.